Are you ready? You want the noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
What?
The noise brought on you? Because here it comes.
This is my job.
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Is this show getting more and more difficult for you to do?
That's gotta be it!
Jeff Lutz.
This isn't that hard.
There are so many great things to do with the human mouth. Why waste it on talking?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. It's a Monday. It's a Monday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and our engineer. 869-1240, the phone number. How you been? How's your weekend? Everything good?
Tired.
You seem a little tired. I was just going to make that comment.
No, you weren't. What were you really going
to
say?
Why do you seem tired to me?
I don't know. It's tired. Getting back into the swing of things, and the early part of the week is tough sometimes. When you've had a weekend to relax, you're supposed to be refreshed and recharged, but I don't think it really works that way.
You know, it seems like the days of the week didn't used to matter to me, and now they matter a lot.
Same.
Why is that? What happened?
Well, because you were doing a job that they kind of all ran together. You'd go cover a game on a Sunday. You'd be off on a Tuesday. You'd go work on a Friday night. And it didn't really matter. Now it matters.
Well, I still kind of work. The day doesn't. I don't know. I don't like Mondays.
I don't think anybody does. But Tuesday is really what you got to watch out for.
Tuesday doesn't really get me.
Tuesday is the one you really got to watch out
for. Why?
Well, Monday presents itself as it is. It's Monday. Tuesday is still the early week. You're still kind of tired from the weekend. It's still a long week to go.
I don't recall ever being tired from the weekend.
Tuesday sneaks up on you. Monday doesn't.
Was I tired from the weekend?
Monday's an honest day.
Answer my question.
I don't know what you were. How would I know that?
Well, you live with me.
Didn't pay any attention.
Well, thanks a lot. I had things going on. I didn't have time to be tired.
Everybody has time to be tired.
Well, that must mean all you did
like
this weekend was sleep.
I don't like those people. I don't have time to be tired. I'm going to attack the day.
I'm not that person, but I don't recall being tired from the weekend.
Okay.
Maybe I was. I don't know.
I don't do anything on the weekend except nothing.
Well, exactly.
Did we do anything this weekend? I don't think we even left the house.
How is it without the youngster?
It's a little different.
Get into it. Tell us how it is.
It's a little different.
Just a little different.
Yeah, a little different.
How are the cats hanging?
Oh, they're fine. Only one of them was truly attached to her, and she's going through it a little bit. It'll be a process for her.
Well, I think Aaron would disagree that only one of the cats was truly attached.
Well, I don't think she would disagree with that, because Nettie is my cat. Allie doesn't really pay attention to anybody. And Sue is just... I can't think of another word, so I'll just say a blank for attention. You can fill in whatever word you want to in that blank.
I don't know what that means.
She'll go to anyone. It doesn't really matter.
So we've filled our fantasy draft, so for the most part. A guy named Don reached out.
Don?
Yeah. Said he really enjoyed the show, thought it was hilarious, and you were the most hilarious. I almost didn't put him in.
Really?
Yeah, because that's really the first time I've ever heard that.
What's up with Don? Where is Don?
Let me read exactly what was said. Because
was he trying to tweak you, or was this sincere?
You know I'm not petty.
Not at all.
And
I figured you'd go to another one of those fake, and he really enjoyed me, and he loved me, and I was funny. But
you know I would never hold that against you.
You actually told the truth this time, so let's hear it.
This is Don. Gives his last name. No need for that. What I was trying to say yesterday was I think you guys are hilarious, especially Jeff, and I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. I have a feeling it really doesn't. Tell you what it does, Don.
Did Don call?
Don't worry about Don.
Well, what was he trying to say the other day?
Don't worry about it.
Was he on the air?
You notice he didn't reach out to you.
And it's hard to get a hold of me.
And you know why? Because it's obvious who the ringleader here is.
Because he wanted to tell you that he liked me better.
Listen,
which is sweet.
I'm sure there are people out there who prefer you. I had another interaction on my favorite thing, Twitter, with another guy.
I saw all that.
Who took me to task.
He doesn't like our show anymore. That's okay. A lot of people don't. I don't even like it sometimes.
Why would you say that?
I like it most of the time.
But why would you say that?
Because nobody's perfect.
Why would you indicate that you don't like our show?
I just told you. Nobody's perfect. Sometimes it's not our best. This is one of our best shows so far, though, I think.
Because you got praise.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty big deal.
Well, how do you find these messages, these interactions?
I don't know.
Where do I go to?
Mentions, at, replies, well, I don't
where
know.
Where do I go?
Just go to your own stuff.
Where do I go?
Nowhere on that. Go to your profile.
Go to my profile. There it is. Now what?
Go to your replies and then see
where are the replies?
The second one over.
That's a reply?
No, the second one over.
That
go to
one?
Your profile. Up. Not your home. Your profile.
You're making me seem old.
You are.
There.
Look, there's four things, right?
Five.
No, not there.
Oh, replies?
Yeah.
By the way, is there anything there? Oh. Yeah, here it is. No? I don't see it. Oh, here it is.
Here it is.
This guy's name is Chuck Finley Forever.
Really? He's an old Angels fan, maybe?
And he was responding to somebody else. Thomas Blair, who also attacked me over the weekend. Why do I get attacked? I wasn't doing anything.
I know. It's okay. People are angry.
Why do I get attacked? I'm just minding my own business. But this guy, Thomas Blair, attacks me, first of all. And this guy, Chuck Finley, is forever. He can't even use his real name.
Well, worse guys to tribute than Chuck.
If you're tuning into Sports Daily, first of all, we're Bob and Jeff. We're not Sports Daily. For anything other than nonsensical, angry rambling where sports are never actually discussed in a coherent manner.
Well, that's fair.
You'll be disappointed. But hey, Bob yelled at Jeff about the Cardinals again. Eventually, he ended with this. Let me find it.
Good grief. Have you ever operated anything technological?
I'm not great with it. Anyway, told me he was around me once, and I was nice to people.
Remember with that caller we had named Chuck?
No, that's not.
I know that, but I just...
That Chuck is a superb...
I know. I'm not saying they're
not
the same person.
Let me talk.
Can I talk?
No.
I want to hear from that Chuck again. Where'd he go?
Don't worry about him.
I'm worried about him.
I'll say this about this Chuck. It's fine if you don't like me. I let that stuff roll off my back. I rarely even mention it.
You're mentioning it right now.
Rare. It's a rare.
Only every time.
It's a rare occurrence. Here's
I don't
what
think
I like.
That it is.
Here's what I would appreciate. I'm not hurting anybody. Just sitting in my recliner, probably with my dog, rubbing her neck, whatever I'm doing, and suddenly I get attacked on Twitter. Does that seem right to you?
As I said, a lot of people are angry. A lot of people are going to take something seemingly innocuous and turn it into something where they can spout whatever worldview they have, and we're off to the races after that.
Well, I don't understand that. I never do that. I never attack somebody.
There's a lot of angst. I don't get where all... I mean, I have angst too, but it is rarely over... that kind of stuff. It's rarely over the political climate in our nation. Just have my own personal angst, and I try to deal with it internally.
What did I post that started?
You said it was a great country or something like that. The best.
It is a great country.
I think most of us can agree with that.
But that doesn't mean we're flawless.
It's not a perfect country.
It doesn't mean we don't have issues. I'd rather live here than anywhere else, and so would these clowns. Yeah, you heard me. If I'm going to get attacked for saying we live in a great country, then I'm going to call these people that are doing the attacking clowns.
Well, you said it in response to a clip of our former president. And again, while it was probably mostly innocuous, probably some people felt that there was some meaning behind you posting that, and then they had to rebound with their own meaning.
Well, good for them. My feeling is that anybody who says we're not a great country, I'm going to fight back on it. Anybody who says that.
All right.
And that used to be appreciated. That's patriotism, right?
Well, there's patriotism that, you know, we're a great country. There's patriotism that says, hey, we got a lot of work to do. There's patriotism that says, you know, I'd rather live here than anywhere else. There are many different forms of patriotism.
I'm all of those.
And as soon as one patriot accepts the ideas of another patriot, then we'll be starting to make some progress.
It's fine if you want to be a naysayer to some degree against things that happen in our country, that's fine. But to say we're not a great country, come on. That's all. What do you have? Why am I even talking to you about this? You weren't involved in my
battle.
You didn't have anything to say.
Sure didn't.
You didn't come to my defense.
Nope.
Now, I want to hear you come to the defense of the Cleveland Guardians.
Not going
to
do it. Not even
here we are, ladies and gentlemen.
Not even going to talk about the Cleveland Guardians.
Here we are.
I'm not going to talk about the Cleveland Guardians until they have promoted a left-handed hitter from AAA. And that could be Juan Brito. It can be George Valera.
I told you to watch out for that weekend. I told you that into Milwaukee.
But again, it's nothing Milwaukee did, okay? This is a team that can't hit anymore.
I don't know what to tell you. I told you to be careful. I told you the Royals. The
Milwaukee
Royals go into Cincinnati
they can
and just
pitch
annihilate the Reds.
Yeah, because they can hit.
And then Minnesota takes care of its business. What are you up now? Game and a half?
Two.
Three over the Royals?
Yes.
Royals have the second best run differential in the American League.
Well, as they should.
They start what is the upcoming schedule?
I don't know. We've got the Yankees. They probably play the Rochester Red Chiefs or whatever they used to be called. That's Syracuse. But you know what I'm talking about.
No, I really don't. It's the Syracuse Chiefs and the Rochester Red Wings.
Yeah, was I pretty close?
I'm always on it.
Well, that's probably who the Royals are playing this week.
They don't play tonight. No, they do. They have the Angels coming in to start a three game.
Like I said.
You're off today, and then you start a series with the Yankees. The Twins don't play today, I don't believe, and they start a series tomorrow with the Padres, which will be a tough one.
It will.
So, no, that series starts tonight. I may tune in for some of that. I feel your pain. I almost reached out to you, but...
You don't. There's no need.
I don't have anything to offer you.
There's nothing to offer.
You're still 20 over 500.
Yeah, but it's a 500 team for the last 2 months or more. I wish this is a time of year when teams that are serious play seriously.
I told you a week and a half ago that the Royals were going to win that division. You scoffed.
But they're not going to win the division. The Guardians are trying to lose it. That's all it is.
The Royals have the Angels and then get this stretch, okay? At home against the Phillies, four in Cleveland, which will be, you won't even want to be in town for that.
Well, I'm not going to be in Cleveland, but I'll be here and I'll revel in it.
Three at Houston. So a very difficult stretch after these games with the Angels. Four with Houston, actually. Then three at home against Cleveland, three at home against Minnesota, three in New York against the Yankees. Ugh. If the Royals come out of this still in the race, which I think they will.
They'll still be in the race.
I think they will come out of this.
They might be a game or two worse than they are now, but they're not going to be out of it by any stretch of the imagination. It's a tough stretch, but the Royals have shown themselves to be a pretty tough team. I'm told I will be attending the Monday affair in Kansas City which I'm really skeptical about.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, it's a family outing.
What family?
My stepfather's side of the family.
Cleveland has the Yankees at home against Texas, at home against Kansas City, then at home against Pittsburgh.
That's really where they got to take charge of the situation.
Then at Kansas City, three games in L.A. against the Dodgers, three games against the White Sox. Then you've got Tampa Bay, Minnesota at home, on the road against St. Louis, Cincinnati for two at home. You end the season with three against the Astros. Certainly not a simple schedule either.
No, not easy, but no schedules are.
Going to be a great chase.
A lot of major league teams playing in the major leagues that are tough to beat.
I am astounded at what the Royals have done. I don't care. I'm not. That doesn't mean I'm a fan. That doesn't. It's just to go from 56 wins and to have your front office and your ownership go out and make the moves they made. Michael Wacha is pitching like he pitched in St. Louis when he was very young.
The Royals,
it's all worked out. Every move they make right now is working.
Well, the Royals put their money where their mouths were. And their mouth, well, I don't want to take that analogy too far, but their first act was signing Bobby Witt to a long-term extension.
Right.
And yes, that's money, but that's also making a statement that, hey, we're going to build around this guy. And then what they do,
cornerstone.
They built around him. How novel of a concept.
And now they got Pasquantino, who looks like he's going to establish himself as a run producer. MJ Melendez has had a better run lately. They've got some guys. Salvador Perez is still productive. Darren Blanco just tore the cover off the ball.
I've always liked him.
This week.
He's a little older. He's close to 30, I think. But when he came through Northwest Arkansas a few years ago, he looked dynamite. And I never understood why he didn't get a longer look in Kansas City. Maybe now he will be.
Boy, you're as tightly wound as you could possibly be.
I know what's going on here.
It's almost uncomfortable even.
I wish I had a front office that was bold.
Join the line, my friend. I got all kinds of problems myself. Here's what we have on the show today. Coming up shortly in our second segment, Joseph Duarte from the Houston Chronicle. We continue Big 12 football previews for our third week. With 16 teams, these last forever.
That's how it works.
Joseph Duarte on the Houston Cougars at 2:25. At 2:45, Blair Kirchhoff checks in from the Kansas City Star. We'll talk to him about the Royals, the Chiefs, all that good stuff. And later in the show, in hour number two at 3:25, Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, will talk college football. We'll have a Bob and Jeff draft.
We will.
In there at some point. Yeah, we will.
What we're going to draft today is NFL teams, and we're going to see at the end of the year who has a better overall record.
All right, that's fine. I'll go head-to-head.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll go head-to-head with anybody.
Well, let's go.
I forgot to post last week's candy.
I don't even know what it was. Well, I would have won that easy, so it's all good.
I need to do that.
It's weird how you forget to post the ones where it's an absolute
route. No, I feel good about
it.
I feel good about it. I need to get that on Twitter. I'll do that during the break. Last week's Bob and Jeff draft. We'll take a break now. When we return, we'll do some more football talk. University of Houston Cougars. They are not expected to be a mainstream challenger for the Big 12 championship. We'll see if they have aspirations to get into the middle of the pack. We'll talk to Joseph Duarte from the Houston Chronicle next.
This
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We'll get Joseph Duarte here in a moment to talk Houston football. He's he took a call from a source, so he's getting some information for us.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, but he said he'll be with us shortly.
Can't wait. Got a lot of lot of burning questions about
as
Houston
Joseph tries
football.
To appease me.
Sure.
You are tired today. You don't have much energy.
Who said?
You're just not rising to the occasion.
Well, I don't know what's going on. I stay up late to watch TV, and I shouldn't.
What'd you watch?
Watching too much TV.
What'd you watch?
Oh, last night I was watching John Oliver, and it bored me to tears, but what are you going to do?
We got hung up on Newhart reruns again. We're almost through season one. And we enjoy it. It's just very relaxing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But do whatever you want. Do what makes you happy.
It takes me back to another time, and it's fun to watch Bob Newhart in his glory.
He's a funny man. I watched a movie yesterday called Treasure.
Oh, I want to tell you something else.
Go for it.
No, I don't care about Treasure.
You should watch it. It's very good.
Okay, what's it on?
I watched it on Amazon Prime.
What's it about?
It's about in the early 90s, a girl is going to go to Poland to see where her dad grew up. Her dad ends up going with her, and they tour, you know, the terrible places that he had to endure, including Auschwitz.
Oh, there you go.
Lena Dunham, is that her name?
Yeah.
Is that?
So we, now you made me forget what I was going to say.
Is that her name, Lena Dunham?
You made me forget what I was going to say.
You're going to tell me something else.
YouTube, which is a treasure trove. It's always a treasure trove. Yesterday I get on YouTube, and what do I find?
What do you find?
I'm going through, it pops up what it thinks I'll like. So it popped up the Johnny Carson Memorial Show on Larry King Live with Rickles, Carl Reiner, Joan Rivers, Mike Douglas, Merv Griffin, fantastic. And then the next night on Larry King Live, they had Ed McMahon and Doc Severinsen on to talk about Johnny Carson. And couldn't get enough, just lapped it up. It was so good. And I don't recall, I'm sure I watched that, right?
Rickles, probably, I don't know.
Rickles on the Memorial Show for...
You would think that was only what, like not
2005?
Not even 20 years ago?
Surely I watched that.
You would think.
I didn't remember it if I did, so it was all great.
Were we at
YouTube's unbelievable.
Do you remember where you were when you found out Johnny Carson died?
No.
Because I believe I was at a Wichita State basketball game.
That's one I don't remember that you would think I would.
It might have been a women's game because I was covering the game, but I think it was a men's game. Let's find out.
I don't remember that one.
That's fair. I'm going to find out though.
I don't for sure know what I was doing when I found out Rickles had died.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. I believe now you're one of those irritating guys who checks everything out.
I am.
And especially with me, because there's nothing you enjoy more in your life than pointing out when I'm wrong.
Well, I was wrong about the Johnny Carson thing. He died on January 23rd. Wichita State played Southern Illinois on January 22nd.
So you couldn't have been more wrong.
And no, I couldn't have.
Joseph Duarte calling my number. I can't get him on.
Well, I'm sure, Max will take that information and run with it and call Joseph Duarte on his own, and we'll get Joseph Duarte on the show to talk about...
Max, I'm gonna go ahead and suggest that we get Joseph back here at 3 o'clock.
We got plenty of time.
If he's willing to do that. Yeah, okay.
We got plenty of time.
Joseph, hello, welcome. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Did you get a good scoop?
Not for what we're on to talk about, but Yeah, I'm working every angle. The job never stops.
Well, there you go. We understand that. We did your job for a long time. So tell us about the Houston Cougars. They got a new coach, an exciting coach, a guy who has some Kansas ties, and Willie Fritz did a phenomenal job at Tulane. How big is this job to get Houston into a viable contending spot in this massive conference now, the Big 12?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. And, you know, this is one of the few interviews I ever do where they don't want to talk about the men's basketball program and Kelvin Sampson. So that shows you a little bit about what the interest is like now with the University of Houston in football. And Willie Fritz has certainly he's left a mark already in about 8 months on the job. They basically have gone through just a makeover in terms of everything and how they handle business, how they do stuff. And, you know, the Dana Holgorsen era had its ups, but there were a lot of downs. And this is a situation that Willie Fritz has been around the block many, many years. He's gone to programs, and everywhere he's been a winner. And this was the first one, you know, that he's been at a Power 5 school or Power 4 school. So they've been real impressed. We've watched practice. You know, I've gotten to see him in action. The guy who's, I think he's 63, 64 years old maybe, and he's got the energy of a 30-year-old. So they're really clicking on all cylinders. It may take a while for the product to get to where they need it to be, but I wouldn't put anything past in terms. They won't get outworked, and I think that's the number one thing that they needed to start, because this program had become complacent the last few years, and it needed a shot of new energy.
So we've seen these former AAC schools in the Big 12 have some national success. We saw it with Central Florida. We saw it with Cincinnati. We saw it with Houston, where they sustained a really good team for several years. What is the difference in doing that and doing that in the Big 12? What's the bigger picture look like on what it really takes to accomplish that in a power conference when you're playing those schools each and every week?
Well, I mean, it's a step up in weight division. I mean, you're now in a heavyweight league where I think the biggest thing in year one was each week they were going up against a really tough opponent, and no knock on the AAC, but you know, you don't have a Temple, or you didn't have a South Florida, for instance, or you know, just school that you could not have the grind of back-to-back games, and that's sort of what they encountered last year, and that's the way life is going to be moving forward, and what the way you get into their class is you have to recruit. You have to beef up your roster. You have to get that better. You have to invest money. You have to basically lay all your cards on the table. And that's sort of what this athletic department is slowly doing. You know, they hire a new AD over the weekend in Eddie Nunez. And they've got work to do. You know, it's the smallest operating budget in the country. It's the most subsidized, or one of the most subsidized programs and departments as a whole in the country. So the sports that matter, you know, men's basketball carries its weight. You got to get something out of your football program. And from attendance standpoint, from fundraising, donations, all that stuff, it's just not there. And that's the surprising thing, because you're in a big city like Houston, in a big market where you think that you could, you know, use that to your advantage. Now, they're building a $140 million football operations center that opens in a little less than a year. That's going to help big time. That's the stuff that you need, that basketball already has, and you can see what basketball is doing with that stuff and with having a solid head coach in Kelvin Sampson. So that's sort of the blueprint that football – usually you see it the other way around. That's what football is trying to emulate basketball and get to that level.
Joseph Duarte, our guest from the Houston Chronicle. We're talking Houston Cougars football for 2024. So you mentioned Houston's in a metropolis, but the Houston Texans are garnering a ton of attention, especially with this young quarterback they have and what they showed in the second half of the 2023 season. How much does that affect the attention being paid to Houston Cougar football?
Well, Houston's competing with not only the Texans, but you got the Astros, who are regularly in at least the ALCS series and World Series, and then, you know, don't forget the Rockets are going on with the NBA. So there's a lot of competition for dollars in this city. You know, if you think Houston's got a bad look across town 5 miles in Rice University, which is in the American, really struggles to get some attention, and, you know, they're a smaller fan base. So it does affect them. It affects them on how they're able to do corporate sponsorships and able to pack the stands, because in my 12 years on the beat, I've only probably seen 4 sellout crowds in 12 years for football, if that. And that's just the way it goes. Some of them were because of performance. It was just not a good year. Some of it was the pandemic. And most of it was just that once they lost the fan base, it's been hard to get them back. And I think that's where Willie Fritz comes in. He's been well received. A lot of people think that he's the one that's going to bring this program back and put them back on a level where they're competing regularly. Because let's face it, in the Big 12 now, Texas and Oklahoma are gone. This thing is up for grabs in terms of what school wants to sort of be the torchbearer now. And is that Oklahoma State? Is that Kansas State? Is it maybe Texas Tech? It's right there. And if you're Houston, you have a chance. And not this year from a competitive standpoint probably, but long term, this is an opportunity, and I think not only Houston, but all other 15 Big 12 schools need to realize that there's the opportunity there to really become the next big dog, so to speak, with the departures of those other two schools to the SEC.
Yeah, let's talk about Willie Fritz, because, you know, I just mentioned some of those teams that had success in the AAC nationally, and he certainly did that with Tulane. So what does he have to prove coming over to the Big 12, his first time really in a power conference? And does the athletic administration see him as a stabilizer to kind of get the program back on its feet, or might he coach into his 70s with Houston?
Yeah, just watching him, I think he probably he could be one of those 70-plus year olds eventually coaching. But, you know, yes, he's looked at as a stabilizer. But this isn't, you know, one, you know that he's not going to go looking for another job. I mean, this is, you know, frankly, this is probably, if it works out, his last job, and then he retires. But you have him for 5 years, and the way that Houston – outside of Dana, the two before them didn't last, you know, more than 2 to 3 years. So they're tired of having to change out coaches. They were doing that with that, you know, with between Art Briles, Kevin Sumlin, Tom Herman. All those coaches left for other jobs at bigger schools, and Houston just felt like they were a stepping stone. With Willie Fritz, they don't feel like that. They feel like he can come in, yes, bring the stability, but also move this program forward. He has won everywhere. I was a student at Blinn College back in the early 90s when Willie Fritz took over, and it was a horrible junior college program. Nobody came to the games. And within 3 years, with a quarterback named Michael Bishop, he wins the first of back-to-back national championships. So you fast forward that about another 10 years, he's at Sam Houston State, and he's got them in back-to-back FCS national championship games. You know, he goes to Georgia Southern, I believe. I'm sorry. And then you see that he takes a 2-10 Tulane team and has them in the Cotton Bowl, and the type of season they had. So he's a winner wherever he is. And I don't think that's going to be any different in the Big 12. It's just going to take some time. I don't think he's a miracle worker, but he certainly will bring stability to this program.
Joseph Duarte, our guest. By the way, it enhances your ability to win when you have Michael Bishop. I've noticed that throughout my years of covering.
Yeah, the quarterback. Well, I don't even remember the quarterback's
name when I was a student. So I don't know if Donovan Smith is Michael Bishop. I'm guessing he's not, but he's certainly a talented and proven quarterback. It looks like he has some receivers. It also looks like Houston has to shore up its offensive line, get better defensively. How many of those things can happen?
From the way Willie explains it, I think you're going to see a lot of guys for several weeks into the season until as they sort of piece this thing together. The O-line, one returner, so you're starting there. They lost their leading receiver from the portal, but they feel like they shored that up pretty good. And as far as Donovan Smith, you know, he didn't go through the spring in terms of throwing. He underwent off-season surgery on his shoulder. He's been sort of on a pitch count during the fall camp here just to keep him fresh. But he's a guy that, in terms of the eye test and stuff, the scouts have liked him. He has the potential, if he has a good year, to work his way into that day two, I believe, of the draft. But you're going to have to really have some things worked in your favor around him. You know, yes, he has some receivers. They lost one of their top backs in camp last week to an injury, Tony Mathis, so they're sort of look how they're going to solve that. And, you know, this is a very run-heavy offense that Willie Fritz runs, so it'll be interesting to see how they use Donovan Smith and the run aspect of things. But he's certainly got something to prove, and I think he knows that, because last year was a little bit of up and down, some inconsistencies, and then he gets hurt late in the year. But they feel like he's the guy that they go into the season, and hopefully that, you know, he has a really good, you know, I don't want to call it a bounce back season, but, you know, has a good season.
Well, Joseph, we made it through without one basketball question. I'm proud of us. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on and talking Houston Cougars football. We may get you back as basketball season approaches, though.
Yeah, let me know. Basketball is always big, especially in your area, so I'd love to talk any hoops whenever you guys want.
Thanks, Joseph.
Thanks. All right, thank you, guys.
All right, Joseph Duarte. Always enjoy him from the Houston Chronicle. IHOP Hotline, we're joined by Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star. Blair, welcome.
Yeah.
We understand you're at a noisy Chiefs practice.
I am, yep. They played a... I guess I could have done that. I sure am. Sorry about that. Had a little technical difficulty. Yeah, Chiefs practice going on. Royals getting ready to play tonight. So we got quite a lot of activity here at the Truman Sports Complex.
Yeah, this is one of those times that, as a journalist in a city, that you just have to kind of shake your head. You've got the Chiefs with two consecutive Super Bowl wins. I think most people consider them to be a very strong candidate for a third, as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy. And then you've got this Royals upstart franchise that last year lost 106 games. They have arguably the best player in the game now in Bobby Witt Jr.
I would argue that.
I might argue it too, but there's an argument to be made. And Blair, ignore my son, please. It's just one of those times, isn't it?
Not only that, and you're right. This is, you know, in the history of the Chiefs and the Royals, it's rare when they have been good at the same time, going back to the 70s. But in addition to that, the anticipation level for college football around here is as high as it's ever been. So these few weeks, couple of months, I mean, it's never felt better to be a sports fan in the, you know, in the heartland than it is right now. So, yeah, and you're right. Not only are the Chiefs and the Royals winning, they're doing it with maybe the best players in their sport. And, of course, that's not happened. Not at least at the same time in Kansas City. So it is. It's a wonderful time to be a sports fan around here.
Yeah, Missouri, Kansas State, all ranked in the top 25. Just incredible. Go, Jeff.
All right. So the behind the back pass from Patrick Mahomes, I was surprised by two elements of it. One, that he's never done it before in a game. And two, that people were surprised that Patrick Mahomes threw a behind the back pass. That seems like something he would do regularly. So what were your thoughts? What was your take on that? Do you think we'll see Mahomes do that in a quote-unquote real game anytime?
Well, I don't see why not. To be honest with you, and everybody has seen it by now, I don't think it's a high-risk play or a low-percentage play. There's not much difference between that and a shovel pass and, just a short pass to a receiver who knows it's coming. I do think we'll see it more. We saw it in practice, actually, up in training camp a week or so earlier, and then Mahomes and Andy Reid even talked about it after practice, and it was Mahomes that told us Andy Reid encourages that. He wanted to see it in the game, and there it was, and just add it to the list of conformity when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. How many different types of, no look, left-handed, jumping, everything. He's it's funny. Caleb Williams, the Bears quarterback, excuse me, guys, and the Bears will be in Kansas City on Thursday. He had a spectacular play on Saturday against the Bengals, that spin move, and then he throws it across his body to Roma Dunze for about a 40-yard gain. Really nice play. And Bears fans are, they're so excited about it. And, maybe the single best play by a Bears quarterback. And I'm thinking, well, that's a Sunday afternoon for Patrick Mahomes. It does something like that almost every game. And we're just kind of spoiled seeing him on a regular basis and all that he can do.
Longtime Kansas City Star sports writer Blair Kirchhoff is our guest. Back to the Royals, because I think they have a good chance of not only getting to the playoffs, but of perhaps even winning this division. But they do have a very difficult schedule about to start after this series with the Angels. First of all, are they built to perhaps win the division? Do you consider them to be a favorite? And on top of that, how well are they built to be sustainable and be in the playoff hunt year after year now?
Well, yeah, good questions, both of them. I think for this year, they've got a lot of things going for them, not the least of which is their starting pitching. It's been tremendous. Top five in Major League Baseball. I think people believed it was going to be improved, but I don't know if anybody saw this coming with the starter's ERA being what it is and, having two all-star pitchers. And look, even Seth Lugo now, who's going to start tonight against the Angels, he's scuffling a little bit. But look at what Michael Wach has done here, and even Brady Singer coming off a really nice game. So they're just getting it done on the mound. And since picking up Lucas Erceg from Oakland, he's been the power arm this bullpen has needed. And he came in a leverage situation in the seventh inning against the Reds on Sunday, and struck out Elly De La Cruz, right, with the bases loaded, one out. And he's just, kind of a missing piece to the bullpen. I think the Royals have found their closer with him, or at least their high leverage guy out of the bullpen. So, yeah, I think the Royals are in a position. They're about 70% – all the, the analytics say they're about 70-75% chance to make the playoffs. And then I think once they get there, they can do a little damage because of the pitching. And you're right, Bob. The schedule does get tougher. The Phillies this weekend, a lot of games against the Guardians coming up. And they still have some work to do. But it's one thing that I like about their position is they're still in a chase mode. They still got the Twins and the Guardians in front of them. And it's not like they're trying to protect a lead. They're chasing it. They're going after it. And I like that position. And then sustainable, well, That's a good question, because the farm system is not, there aren't a lot of prospects in the farm. So I don't know about that. Bobby Witt is going to be here, and he's locked up for a decade or more, and he's a generational talent. So, you got that. Vinny Pasquantino is coming into his own. I think he's a 100 RBI guy for his, for the foreseeable future. Salvi's still got a couple of years left, and there's the meat of the order. They need to find, you want to see guys like Michael Garcia and Michael Massey, and just get a little more consistency with their bats. But
I think that the days of the, you know, fifth place finish, certainly 100 loss seasons, those are well behind the Royals. And I think we are in for a longer stretch of success than what we had in the previous era, the 14-15 team. I thought they had a chance to draw that out longer than it did, and it only lasted a couple more years of a couple of 500 seasons, and that was it.
So, you know, we talked about Bobby Witt or mentioned him at the start, and, you know, I would probably, if I had a vote, I don't, never will, but I would probably vote for Aaron Judge as the American League MVP. But how miraculous is it that a guy from Kansas City is going toe-to-toe with the literal center fielder for the New York Yankees, like the most mythical position you can think of, a team coming off a 56-win season. Do you think Bobby can take that from Aaron Judge over the last month and a half?
Well, and Jeff, Aaron Judge has had to have a monster year to do this. On pace for is he going to get to 60 or I don't know. His numbers are going to be phenomenal. But when it comes to Bobby Witt's going to, by all appearances, lead the American League, lead baseball in batting average, runs, and base hits. He'll be in the in the top five in a lot of other categories. And for the analytics crowd out there, he and Aaron Judge are in a virtual tie in WAR. So wins above replacement, which is a very respected measurement of success. I think if the vote were held today, Judge would be the AL MVP, but I think Bobby Witt would get some first place votes, and he would get everybody's second place vote who didn't vote for him. So it's great. When I referred to the 14-15 teams, their best finish in the MVP race, I think Lorenzo Cain was third in 2015, and he didn't have great numbers that year, but his defense was phenomenal, and I think he hit 300. I mean, Witt is on pace to have next to George Brett's 1980 season when he hit 390. This could be the best offensive, best all around year for a Royals position player in club history. So, very deserving of where he is and the accolades that are going to come his way. And I don't think this is a 1 year wonder type thing. I he's got too much speed and power and baseball smarts and the way he elevated his game this year just suggest to me that he is in for, and we're all in for, quite a ride here over the next decade.
All right. As a Cardinals fan, I've heard enough. I'm done. I can't take it anymore, Blair. Hey, we always appreciate your time coming on and talking about Kansas City sports. It's heady times for both the Royals and the Chiefs. Thank you so much.
Yeah, let the good times roll. Good talking to you guys.
Take care. Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star. We will take a break, come back and talk Bob and Jeff draft. We'll pick NFL teams. And then when the season's over, we'll go back and look at who had the best records, total those up for you.
And see who wins.
Keep track?
Yeah, I'll write it down somewhere.
Yeah, thank you.
You know Max will.
We'll do that next.
It's radio.
Radio you can touch.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who the hell are you? I'd rather go down to the barber shop and ask a guy about ready to get his hair cut what the urgency's like.
Lord knows we need family now more than ever.
Jeff Lutz.
I just don't want to indulge you and I'm the greatest thing in the world every time we're on the show. I'm not going to do that.
You're unbelievable. Judas.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby. You'll go wacko, bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable.
Are you ready? Let's go!
All right, welcome back. It is hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Max Power, producing engineering, 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. All-you-can-eat pancakes available at IHOP through the 15th of September as we have another month of summer here. All right, the Bob and Jeff draft's going to happen. We're going to pick eight franchises in the NFL each. And whoever has the accumulative best record from those eight teams at the end of the regular season
Regular season.
The end of the regular season. Wins, well, let's put $50 on this one.
Fine.
There you go. Put something on it.
$50. Yeah, whatever.
There, right.
Sure.
Flip the coin.
I'm getting ready to. What do you call?
I'll call tails. It is heads. What's your move going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to go second.
You're going to go second?
Yeah, I'm going to go second.
Well, that's just utterly ridiculous.
Well, I think that's the only move that you could possibly make right now. But if you pick the team that I want, then I'll be angry.
This is a good pick. I'll go first, and I will pick. Well, there's not a. There's. This is going to be hard. Let me look at this team's schedule, because to me they're in a conference that can be attained. Jets, Vikings, Rams, Patriots, Cardinals.
Yeah, you got it.
I'll pick the 49ers.
I probably should have taken the first pick, but I didn't. I'm going to take the Houston Texans.
Oh, risky. Right out of the chute.
And.
Right out of the chute.
And the Baltimore Ravens.
Really? Tough division.
Very tough. But I think they'll be on.
Very tough division. I'm taking the Chiefs because they'll go 6-0 in the AFC West.
They might or they might not.
In my opinion, they're in maybe the easiest division. So I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs. And then secondly, it gets more difficult. I will take, as my next pick, the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions.
Some risk to that.
And I'll take a team that I think is in a bad division and will be on a nice little upswing this year, and that is the Atlanta Falcons.
Tough. That's a tough one.
Why is that a tough one?
I don't trust their coach. I don't know. I don't have good luck with that one.
They'll go 11-6.
Good luck with that one. That's all I'm going to say. My next pick, and I'm looking right at the NFC North here, because the Lions would be considered the favorites. Boy, there's, you don't know how much I want to pick. Yeah, boy, this is so hard. I better get back to the AFC. And in the AFC, I will pick the Buffalo Bills and back to the NFC. I like what you did with Atlanta, but I don't think that's the team that's going to make waves. I think it's going to be the Saints.
With who at quarterback?
Derek Carr.
Yeah, he's awful, but thank you. I very much appreciate you making that pick. That helps me a lot. I'll go with the winner of the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins.
Risky.
Not really. And I'll go into the NFC too and pick the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's a solid pick, especially late.
Good value in the sixth round.
I will pick. These are teams with two young quarterbacks in the same division that I think could be both be Jordan Love and the Packers. And then, man, look out.
You really
want Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, because they're going to be really good.
Could be. Might be a year early for them. We'll see. you know what Duda would say? Oh, he's never done it, so you can he can't. He's not going to do it.
Why are you attacking Duda?
Just that's what Duda would say, and I don't like that.
You got your final two picks.
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Good. Some of these picks are better than the ones you had early.
Well, like I said, I'm getting a lot of late value here. My last pick, picked all those teams already. I don't like any of these. I guess I'll go back to the AFC South. But for which 9-8 team? I'll go with the team with the slight...
Colts?
No, I'm going to go with the Jags.
Oh, you made a mistake.
It's the last pick.
Colts are going to be much better.
I'm not sure if Anthony Richardson can stay healthy.
He's going to be good.
He is, but can he stay healthy?
Yeah, that's why he's going to be good.
Well, then pick him.
I'm going to pick, with my final pick here, I'm going to look at I can't pick them, although Russell Wilson is not going to be the guy. Pittsburgh will be interesting because Justin Fields will be...
terrible?
Will be better than they think.
I don't think so.
I do.
Throwing to one guy? I mean, please don't pick them. Please do.
I'm going to pick, for my last pick, I'm going to pick the Rams. That team has a lot of talent.
Young talent, but their quarterback is old.
I'm frankly surprised I was able to get them with the very final pick.
I'm not.
Tell us your team.
They seem like about the 16th best team in the league. My group of eight, we're going for best record overall.
They went to Detroit last year and had them on the ropes.
Well, is that a win or a loss, having somebody on the ropes?
That's a good football team. Who are your eight?
Well, we'll see if they're a good football team. Texans, Ravens.
So high for the Texans. I love them, too.
They're in a bad division.
I like them, too.
I don't like that division at all.
Let's look at the...
They added Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon, right, to an offense that, if I recall correctly, was pretty good.
Two guys on the downside. They could definitely help.
Well, when you already have Nico Collins and...
But it's not a given.
Damian Pierce.
Houston, their schedule. They open at Indianapolis. They have the Bears at home, at Minnesota, the Jags, Bills, at the Patriots, at the Packers.
7-0.
They have the Cowboys, Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens. Okay.
10-1. All right, good.
10-1.
Yeah. Texans, Ravens, Lions, Falcons, Dolphins, Eagles, Bengals, Jags.
Mine, 49ers, Chiefs, Cowboys. Good grief. I'm already.
Yeah, and then.
I'm already at 40 wins.
And then you're like the Roadrunner, just falling
Bills,
off the
Saints,
cliff.
Saints, Packers, Bears, Rams.
Saints, Rams, yeesh.
The Saints Bears are going to be fine.
Well, one of the Packers or the Rams Bears is going to finish third.
Yeah, those teams in that division are all going to be right around 10 wins.
Maybe. Hard to say.
You watch.
Let's look at that Bears schedule.
Doesn't matter.
Matters to me.
Bears are going to be good.
They should be. They have a ton of
talent.
Do we care
what Max says about this?
Not really.
None of us picked the Patriots. He won't care.
It's going to play out for itself. It doesn't really need an evaluation. Bears have Titans, Texans, Colts. Man, what an easy schedule. Rams, Panthers, Jags, Commanders, Cardinals, Patriots. Good grief.
There it is, baby. There it is,
Packers,
baby.
Packers, Vikings, Lions, and then 49ers. Yeah, this is not a tough schedule at all. Their division's tough, but outside of that, no.
There it is, baby.
Maybe.
Don't you hate it when I outthink you?
You didn't outthink me.
Of course I did. I looked at the schedule.
No, you didn't.
Of course I did.
Who do they open with?
You just said it.
Exactly. So you should know.
Who was it?
You know.
I forgot.
It wasn't Houston. That was week two.
I thought it
two.
Was the Colts.
Titans.
My money's on
Jeff.
They'll
win that game.
My money's on Jeff.
Max said his money's on you.
My money would be on Jeff.
Which is ridiculous. The weakest, and you know why?
The Max weakest team he has is the Falcons. You know, you realize the Cowboys don't have Michael Parsons or CD Lamb signed. You understand that,
here's,
right?
Here's what Max
Knows his football. Ask him any team's salary cap situation.
Here's what Max heard, and immediately went to you.
Saints?
I picked the Chiefs.
No, he heard Saints.
Max, what are you going to do if the Chiefs win number three?
There's only one quarterback in the salary cap era that went to three straight Super Bowls, and he no longer plays.
He didn't win three.
What are
you going to do if Mahomes wins his third?
He won't.
Will you finally say on this show that Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback?
You guys have already given
Tom
him the
Brady.
Trophy, for God's sakes.
Max, if he wins three in a row,
it won't
you
happen.
Need to say something respectful.
Yeah, well, I guess I won't have to worry. Yeah, I won't have to worry about that.
Okay, but say it's a deal right now.
Sure, it's a deal, but I won't have to worry.
There you go.
But listen.
Okay, maybe you won't.
If I was going to bet.
Maybe you will.
I'd take Jeff's list, man. Jeff's Houston strong. Oh, my God. The weakest team he has is the Falcons.
Mahomes got you, baby.
The weakest team is the Falcons on his list.
I got Mahomes. That's all I need. Yeah. All right, turn your mic off. Max is so anti-Mahomes.
That's fine, but he did say if the Chiefs win this year, he'll say
something
respectful.
You really think he'll do it?
He said it was a deal. So, yeah, I think he'll own up and be true to his word.
I'm like Twi Chang King.
I do
have my word. Oh, by the way, Bob, I saw Don Rickles on an F-Troop episode today. I thought of you.
Well, he was in all those 60s sitcom
shows. He played an Indian, Bald Eagle.
Yes, I've seen it a million times. He appeared on all those shows. All right, let's take a – well, no, we don't have – we're too early to take
who
a
we got next? Who are we talking with?
Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com.
That's a tough one.
College football.
That's intimidating.
Why?
Well, you got to come with Dennis.
He's been on the Rome show? That
no, because he's a national guy. He's not going to put up with a lot of garbage. So I got to ask some good questions to Dennis. I got to be ready for that.
Well, that'll be the first good question you ask of any of our guests.
Really?
Will be the first.
They tell me good question a lot. Do you think they're just blowing smoke?
Well, they're surprised. You don't sound very intelligent. Now, that was funny.
Was it?
I thought so.
It's not going to placate your friend Don.
Don Rickles?
No, Don who texted you or whatever and said I was funnier.
I don't see how anyone could think that, but
I do.
He eats their own.
You know why? Because I've got two notes at least. You've still got one.
What do you mean by that?
You're a one-note comic.
What do you mean?
You're a one-note guy.
You just called me a comic.
Yeah, one-note guy. Kind of like the guy Kyle Mooney played on SNL. What was that?
Yeah, well, it's one of the best characters you've ever seen on Saturday Night Live.
He's a hack comedian.
Saturday, they reran the Nate Bargatze episode of Saturday Night Live. Fortunately, I record all those, so I was able to watch it. I watched that monologue three or four times. He's so funny.
I need to see his special, which he doesn't
have
out.
He's got a new one out?
No, that's what I'm saying. I need to see it. I didn't get to see his last tour, so I need to see what he did, his material.
When's the new one come out?
I don't know.
Why don't you find out?
I will. I mean
there's now a national group of people who wait for that.
Why don't you listen
to
his podcast?
He's my favorite comedian.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's up there, I guess.
No, he's not up there. He is.
I'm talking about for me.
Who's yours? Todd Glass?
And Cedric, but Todd is, I just love him.
Has he ever hosted SNL?
No, and he never will.
Why? Because he's not good enough.
He taped a special. He's just not that guy. He's an alternative comedian. He's not going to be a mainstream guy ever. He taped a special in April.
Bargatze did?
Yeah, so this should be coming out, right?
Well, you would hope so.
In Phoenix.
I missed him when he was here. It's the worst mistake of my life. You know who else I missed? I need somebody to text me.
I didn't miss him. I just didn't go.
You know who I miss?
No.
Alice Cooper.
Would you have gone to that?
Yes.
Interesting.
I saw him way, way back when he was crazy.
He's probably still a bit crazy.
I would have loved to have seen it, but I didn't even know about it.
Where did you see him? In Milwaukee?
No, of course not. So I'm here in Wichita.
It's Algonquin for the good land.
It's a ridiculous question.
Did you know Milwaukee is the only major American city to elect three socialist mayors?
You know what this guy sells? This guy thinks you're funny.
What?
Little Debbie cake.
Really?
Yes.
So he's got a stash of zebra cakes. I'm going to have to get to know this guy.
All right. We'll take a break. Back in a minute with Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com. More college football talk here on the Bob and Jeff Show.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Dennis Dodd joins us. He's from CBSSports.com, one of their college football writers. Hello, Dennis. Welcome to our show.
Bob, how are you? I'm good.
Doing good, thank you. So I don't recall the last time we've gone into a college football season with this much intrigue, this much new stuff. It feels like we just bought a brand new car. How's it going to drive?
I think it's the most significant season maybe ever when you start with the expanded playoff, triple the field, which is, to me, is going to make the season extremely interesting, more interesting. You've got the SEC and Big Ten threatening to, well, they already have pulled away from everybody else in every metric you want to measure. You got Florida State trying to get out of the ACC. I don't think realignment's over. And then the Big 12's thing there, I love this story because they're like the island of 16 misfit toys, and that's their biggest strength. They have 16 teams that nobody wants in realignment. I mean that as a compliment. So whoever wins this league this year is going to do something probably they've never done before, which is play for a championship. So think about that. That's Kansas State, Utah, Arizona, whoever, Oklahoma State. They've never been at this level. So it those teams are among a handful that I say the playoffs meeting them in the middle. Like, okay, if you do this again, Missouri's in there too. If you do this again, then you're going to be in the playoffs. So it just changes the whole dynamic, I think, the whole season.
Do you think the expansion of the playoff accounts for how much more difficult it will be to evaluate teams when they don't play the same schedules or even close to the same schedules? We see schedules in the Big 12 where some teams play all of the preseason top 25 teams and some of them play none of them. I mean, the committee and people in charge of these things, it seems like it's going to be nearly impossible to sift through all that.
Well, I think we saw that proven last year when the selection committee didn't think a 13-0 Power 5 champion was good enough to play for the national championship. And that, to me, sent a bunch of messages that suddenly the ACC had become, you know, the Missouri Valley or something. Those are legitimate teams that anybody, you know, had to get through to go 13-0. And I know they had injuries at the end. I get that. But that has never happened before. It actually had happened in 2004 with Auburn and the old BCS. And because that happened to an undefeated SEC champion, that got the wheel started towards the playoff. Mike Fly, the old commissioner, said that was never going to happen again. So here we are. But as far as the disparity of leagues, yeah. But I think we can cut to the chase and say because of the schedule strength, no surprise, the SEC and Big Ten are going to have the majority of the spots. In fact, we ran the numbers. If you'd gone back the last 10 years and put in the current 12-team formula, there would have been an average, combined average of 7.73 teams from those two leagues alone in any given year. One year, a couple of years, there were nine. So that leaves an average of what, 4.5 for the rest of college football for the other 100 teams? That should give you some idea of what this is going to look like.
Talking now with Dennis Dodd, a very seasoned college football writer for CBSSports.com. So you mentioned, and we all know, that the SEC and the Big Ten have made great inroads to become the two dominant football conferences in the country. No doubt they are. Can you give us a prediction on how many teams from those conferences will be in the 12-team playoff?
Oh, well, you start with the Big Ten, Oregon, Ohio State. I think of Penn State. Penn State, by the way, third place in any of these leagues is probably the best place you can be. You don't have to play for a championship, so you're not putting your record out there and risking anything. For the first time, you don't have to win your conference to win a national championship. So if Penn State does what it always does, which is go 9-3, 10-2, it'll be in most years. SEC is going to be, what, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, and some fill-in after that. I've already mentioned six teams right there. So
Ole Miss.
Teams that are coming up, Ole Miss may win the league. I'm not saying they will. I think they've got a chance to. They've got all 22 starters back. They've got a friendly schedule. They've got what people say is the most talented Ole Miss team ever. So we've already mentioned 7 or 8 right there. So it's going to be fun as heck.
So obviously we're here in Kansas. We know that KU and K-State play on October 26th, which, you know, it seems a little bit early, especially this year. We like that game to maybe be at the end of the season. But how much weight do you think that game will carry as far as who, which one or two teams perhaps out of the Big 12 makes it to the Final 12?
Well, I think Utah's favored, and I think they'll win the league. That doesn't mean it's a slam dunk. I think it could be wide open this year. In the Big 12, if you get hot, you can be in. I also think that Utah could be in any league and win it because of the style they play. They're very, very physical. I think they could compete favorably in the Big 10 and the SEC, and in the Big 12, we'll find out about that. But I think you need to back up on KU and K-State and not fast forward to that game. I think they've got almost as good a chance as any. I talked about it up top. Talk about Utah, it's going to be Kansas State, Oklahoma State, in some form of that in the standings, it looks like, not certain. But I think what Kansas has done under Lance Leopold, the biggest thing is they locked him up for the long term. Kansas has a chance, I can't believe I'm saying this, a chance to be a power in the Big 12 because they've got stability. They've got that $400 million project going on, which is unprecedented, really almost in college sports, but certainly at KU in the Big 12. And they've got an offense that can win them 10 games. Don't know about the defense. It's certainly better than it was 2 years ago. They lose their offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, which was huge. But I think Devin Neal were the preseason offensive player of the year. So they're going to put up a lot of points and can literally, I think, outscore people and get the 9 or 10 wins. Kansas State is ranked higher. I think Chris Klieman was the perfect replacement for Bill Snyder. He's running the program the same way he did. It's a developmental program. He makes starters out of 3 stars. He recruits well. They've got one of the best backfields in the country, if you include Avery Johnson as a runner, with Dylan Edwards as a transfer that was Colorado's leading rusher last year. So they're going to be huge. I want to see this play out. I'm not looking at that one game. I'm looking at both of them competing for a Big 12 title and a playoff spot.
Talking college football with Dennis Dodd, the season, of course, just around the corner. So we talk a lot about, obviously, the Power Four and especially the Power Two, a 12-team playoff. Who's the team outside of that? And you can't have Notre Dame because I think that would be the obvious one. Who's the team outside of these conferences best equipped maybe to sneak in to the college football playoff?
I don't think it's sneak in because don't forget that the top 5 conference champions
ranked conference champions get in automatically. So that would tell you that the group, the best of the group of five, is going to be in. And I think that team this year is Boise State. They just named their starting quarterback. He is not Malachi Nelson, the five-star transfer from USC. But they have a new, they have a lot of talent coming back. They have Spencer Danielson, their defensive coordinator, who took over for Brian Harsin. And Boise State, frankly, is one of those group of four schools that fancies itself being able to compete with the big boys because of the tradition started there by Chris Peterson, whatever, you know, more than 15 years ago. So I really like Boise State. They're committed. The money's there. They've recruited well. And I think they'll win the Mountain West and beat that, be that group of four representatives.
So I think it's probably pretty rare, even if the coaches we're talking about made jumps instead of lateral moves or backward moves. But for Washington and Michigan both to lose their coaches, they both lost their quarterbacks. How big of a step back is it for those programs, and how quickly could they potentially get back into the national championship conversation?
Yeah, I don't think Washington ranked very many places this year. I didn't have them ranked in the top 25. They think there'll be a significant drop-off going into a tougher league with tougher travel. Jed Fish coming over from Arizona to be their head coach. Michigan in a similar situation but different. Sharon Moore comes into this season as both a rookie head coach and the winningest coach in college football. He was 4-0. As a Jim Harbaugh replacement last year with all those suspensions. And he may be suspended himself over the sign-stealing case, which is still open. But Michigan will drop off. They had 13 players drafted last year. That was a, I don't know if that was a school record or Big Ten record, but one of those. Donovan Edwards is a preseason All-American by some people. He's a running back that's going to play in the NFL. They've got a quarterback, Alex Orji, who's like an old dual threat. He's a faster Jamel Holloway with a better arm, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's a big, big pull from 40 years ago. But nonetheless, Jamel Holloway did win a national championship at Oklahoma in 85. So look for them, and their defense is one of the best in the country. They've got two or three All-Americans over there, led by Mason Graham, who's the latest inside defensive tackle, is going to be good. But they may not be they may be top four, but they're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna compete for the championship. Their schedule's too tough. Before they get out of September, they have to play Texas and USC. So that's gonna be tough.
Final question for Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. You mentioned realignment, Florida State wanting out of the ACC. How likely is that to happen? Where would they go? And how much more realignment is on the horizon, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't. I think they're going to get out. I don't know who's going to take them, if that makes sense, and I'm not sure it does, because I think they have the wherewithal, which means the money to get out, but they don't. There's not a place for them to go. The Big Ten doesn't want them. The SEC doesn't want them. They're already in Florida. And they don't, you know, they don't have a place to go. The Big 12 would take them, but I think there'd be riots in the streets if Florida State ended up playing at Iowa State in mid-November in the snow. That's not who they think they are. They think they're better than that. So, you know, I think it's going to be them getting out in the next year. That's a Rubik's Cube question. I just don't know where they end up. ESPN in February has the option of picking up the contract, the ACC contract, and either stopping it at 2027 or having it go to term at 2036. And there's some speculation that they might do that. If they do that, that would cause the end of the ACC. I think the schools would scatter to the four winds. The ACC might exist, but in a much deficient form. So that's one of the biggest questions of the season. Florida State fancies itself a Texas, an Oklahoma, a Michigan. But in terms of TV value, it really isn't. So that's the problem.
All right. Interesting stuff. We look forward to this season. We'll read your stuff at CBSSports.com. Dennis, thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Dennis Dodd. Boy, it's going to be interesting.
How'd I do?
good questions.
I didn't think he thought your questions were
quite
up to par. I thought your questions were about B level.
Not bad. I'll take that.
They weren't bad.
I don't remember yours.
Really?
No, not really.
Do you not listen when I'm asking my questions?
What did you ask? Something about realignment. I remember that. That's about it.
I asked some great questions.
I believe it.
And if you want to hear them again, you can go back on the Odyssey app, which lets you do all kinds of things. Get on that app. If you don't have that on your phone, the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, is a great one to have. Phil Donahue passed away.
He did.
Sad.
Fellow December 21st birthday guy.
Watched his show often back in the day. I'm not sure how. Thought I worked, but I was home a lot in the late afternoons.
He did?
Yeah. I'd say I watched it once or twice a week.
Who's on the Mount Rushmore of daytime talk shows?
He is.
Oprah.
Oprah. Phil Donahue.
Jerry Springer.
Mm.
He's on it. I don't whether you enjoy the and Geraldo? Is that the four?
No, not Geraldo.
Jenny Jones, Ricky Lake.
Of course not. No, come on.
Montel Williams.
Ellen.
Probably. But she had a fall from grace.
Well, she did, but so everybody has a fall from grace.
Everybody?
I'm just waiting for mine.
Did Montel Williams have a fall from grace?
Yeah, he wasn't. Nobody. God, I don't know. I don't consider him to be at that level.
Maury?
So anyway, we're sad about Phil Donahue. I saw on ESPN where their guy, Bill Barnwell, just put out a story with the five teams most likely to improve in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Only one was picked by us.
And that one.
Who would you guess they are? Don't look at the screen.
It looked like it was the Chicago Bears.
Don't look at the screen, please.
Was it?
No. Try to pick. His first choice was the Chargers.
I'll go Eagles.
No. I said only one was picked.
Right. I picked the Eagles.
His first choice was the Chargers. Okay. His second choice was the New England Patriots.
All right.
Believe it or not. His third choice was the Washington Commanders.
Makes sense.
Then the Arizona Cardinals.
Sure. They got Marvin Harrison.
The fifth team was picked by me. Most likely to improve.
Saints?
No.
Good, because they're not going to. Every other team you have has had a pretty good year. I guess the Rams?
No.
So then I don't care.
You don't want to keep guessing?
They improved from really good? I don't care about that. That doesn't interest me.
You don't want to keep guessing?
No, I don't.
Chiefs?
Doesn't interest me.
He made a good case.
Well, all of it has to do with turnover margin. That's all he ever really goes by. And the Chiefs didn't have a very good turnover margin. That's not something that's predictable from year to year. And then there you go.
So anyway, we'll see.
Max could be in trouble.
We'll see. I mean, I like the Chiefs. I don't dislike the Chiefs like I once did.
Why did you dislike the Chiefs?
I don't know. They were just that team. And when I was a St. Louis Rams fan or a St. Louis Cardinals fan, and
they didn't compete.
Everybody's just taking the Chiefs, and no, not my cup of tea.
Were you a Dallas Texans guy back in the day?
Never. I was a St. Louis football Cardinals fan, even though they were rarely very good. They had a moment under Don Coryell.
Well, it's come full circle for you then.
Yeah, my Cardinals aren't very good.
They aren't very good.
And your Guardians are sinking like a boulder in the Cheney Lake.
Who cares? Jace DeLauder's getting called up to AAA. Does that
doesn't matter.
Nothing? Who do you
last
think?
I checked, AAA doesn't do any
but
good.
Who do
you
think's going to go from AAA to the bigs?
Don't care. You keep holding out this.
Just who do you think it's going to be? That's all I'm asking.
You keep holding out this hope that there's some kind of help in AAA.
There might be. I mean, it can't get worse,
right?
It makes
me laugh.
But can it get worse?
Can it get worse than Tyler Freeman? He's terrible.
Can it get worse than
Daniel
Schneeman?
Schneeman is awful. I told you that.
He started off good.
But you defended him, and I said he'll never last. There's guys at pitchers that so easily can be figured out. And Schneeman is one of those guys.
Yeah, so let's...
Throw him a fastball down and away, and you got him forever.
No, fastball up.
Down and away.
Can we get rid of him and Schneeman? Freeman and Schneeman just in one fell swoop?
Well, you got about three other guys to get rid of. Lane Thomas has been awful.
Yeah, what's with that?
Since you acquired him. He's probably feeling the heat.
And Jose Tena goes over to Washington, a guy I've always liked, and is 8-for-17.
Yeah, but they're playing under no pressure.
It's always pressure when you get caught up to the big league.
It's more difficult to play in the pressure of a pennant race. And especially when you're an acquisition that's meant to kind of help you get there.
Well, then help us get
Lane
there.
Lane Thomas isn't maybe
lame,
made for that.
You loser. Lame Thomas is what we've started calling
See,
him.
See, that's awful to treat your own players like that.
I don't call him that.
That's awful. You're an awful person.
I don't say that.
You just said it. Just you just called him a loser.
Elements of our fan base have begun, the whispers are getting louder.
Are you even invested anymore? You seem like
you've
detached.
Yeah, I just get furiously angry every time they're down 1-0 in the second. But other than that, no, I'm not invested.
Well, feel the pain. Listen, good luck to you.
I appreciate it. I wish we'd try. But, you know, it's one thing when you just aren't winning. But it's another thing when your front office doesn't seem like it has your back.
Thanks to Max back in the studio. We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll talk, who knows what we'll talk about. Certainly we'll talk Shocker baseball with Brian Green and Iowa State football with Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune. See you then.